morning to Psalm 129. Psalm 129. God's people, Israel, had been assaulted on all sides by the nations of this world to the point of enslavement, rape, murder. Going up to worship, they sang this psalm of ascents, perhaps on the way home from Babylon or on the yearly trip up to Jerusalem. We don't have the exact record of the writing of this psalm. But they reminded each other through it of what they'd been through. The faithfulness of God and the fate of their enemies. God cut the power of the wicked. He released his people from their cords. And they knew also that God would use their enemies to discipline them for their own good. Jewish people today remain hated by many nations of this world. They're the butt of jokes, even sometimes among us. The true Israel of God is every person who has accepted the promise of Jesus Christ, given to Abram to be of his seed. A continuing comparison to the people of the nation of Israel is that God will still use the nations of this world to discipline his people, to mature us, to help us to grow in him, and to glorify his name. But he will only allow their persecution to carry so far. And even if we are martyred in his name, it is not the nation's power that accomplished this. It's the power of God. They can't hold us, although they are many. All you have to do is turn on the news today and you hear of the persecution of the people of God in Africa, Asia, Europe, the Middle East, and here in the United States. Our country has turned an ugly corner, and it's only going to get uglier. But you don't have to be afraid of that. As the people of God, you don't have to be afraid of that. For evidence of how things are becoming in this world, just look at the back of your bulletin. We're praying today for Fashid Fati, a brother who was arrested for his faith, but maintains a bright testimony. And it's not delusion that lets him do that. It's a realistic grasp of a very real God. Hear now Psalm 129. Many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Let Israel now say, many times they have persecuted me from my youth up, yet they have not prevailed against me. The plowers plowed upon my back, they lengthened their furrows. The Lord is righteous, he has cut in two the cords of the wicked. May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like grass upon the housetops, which withers before it grows, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, or the binder of sheaves his bosom. Nor do those who pass by say, the blessing of the Lord be upon you. We bless you in the name of the Lord. May the Lord God add his blessing to the preaching, hearing, and receiving of his word today. Beloved, even in hard times, you should praise Jesus for cutting the cords of the wicked from you. Even in hard times, you should be praising Jesus for cutting the cords of the wicked from you. Listen to the emphasis in the beginning of this psalm. Many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Let Israel say, many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. They didn't want to forget what happened. When you are reminded of your pain, of the difficulty in your life, remember Israel. Many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Egypt, Babylon, enslaved Israel. But it started before that. The persecution of the people of God went all the way back to our first parents, their children, Cain and Abel. Cain slew Abel in wickedness, but it didn't rise up from a little dispute they had that got out of hand and someone lost their temper. It began because Cain was angry at God. God told Cain, "You'd given me an improper sacrifice. Give me a good sacrifice and your countenance will be lifted up." And Cain stored that up inside of him until it exploded in hate on the faithful son, Abel, the child of God. As Egypt enslaved Israelites, an entire nation for generations, and profited off their backs. Today, the persecuted church around the world, our brothers and sisters are facing the same pain. There are slaves today. Just because it ended in this country doesn't mean it's over. Your brothers and sisters are being fined, imprisoned, tortured, and murdered for calling on the name of Jesus Christ without apology. It's still going on because the enmity of the serpent seed for the seed of the woman continues. They hate you because they hate Christ. But they can't take out their anger on him, so you become the next best thing. They want to hurt him. It's not about you. They want to hurt him. You're God. It's in their nature. And yes, that persecution does hurt. Here, verse 3. The plowers plowed upon my back. They lengthened their furrows. Now, you'll find this translated different ways in different translations of the scriptures. But there are just a couple of ways to take this verse. There's the physical and the spiritual. When Egypt enslaved Israel, they had them doing the work they didn't want to do. And why should they? They had slaves. And so in using Israel, they used their hard work, they broke their backs, and they took their sweat to increase their nation physically, financially, in every way possible. Babylon enslaved Israel and put them to similar use. They made a physical profit off the people of God. And you, when you were unsaved, your work profited Satan. What you did encouraged and fed the kingdom of darkness. You plowed their furrows. Satan led you by his cord of wickedness attached to you. And when times get hard today and Christians suffer and occasionally look back and say, maybe if I just get weak here for a minute, I'll feel a little better. Or I deserve to take a break from all this struggle. And are tempted to sin. When you do that, beloved, you repeat the sin of the Israelites who look back at Egypt and said, oh, if we only had the food they provided. Never mind the enslavement, the beatings, the inability to own their own, the inability to travel. Because it was hot and difficult on the path of the Lord, they were willing to give all that up for garlic and onions. Garlic and onions. And when you do turn back and you do decide to sin because you think it'll give you a moment of relief, You've crossed back over the Red Sea and placed your feet on dirty land. And you don't have to do that, beloved. You don't have to do that. Because as tough as the road is, Jesus Christ has promised that his burden is easy and his yoke for you is light. Now, this easy and light has a far deeper meaning than what we give to it in English today. Easy and light, according to the Hebrew, according to the Greek, according to our Lord, means that the task and the work that the Lord has for you is made just for you. Just for you. It fits you. It sits rightly on your neck. You are able to do it. You can withstand it. And turning back to sin, it's like taking off the yoke of the Lord and saying, never mind, and going after onions. Jesus Christ, in a very spiritual way, in a very physical way, at the same time, fulfilled this verse. The plowers plowed upon my back. They lengthened their furrows. The plowers, they were Satan's plowers. And they scourged our Lord Jesus on his way to the cross. They whipped his back with leather whips embedded with bone until you could see through his back because the flesh had been removed. And he took that for you. So that if you would believe and trust in him, you could be free from the cords of the wicked. They lengthened their furrows on him. But here's the thing. They thought it was their own idea and their own strength doing it, but it wasn't. It wasn't. It was his own sacrifice accomplishing his own work. There was victory in his pain. So as you face persecution and pain today, and as you watch the news and you wonder what's going on, don't be afraid, because the persecutors are not greater than the one you serve. By no means. Here, verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in two the cords of the wicked. Now, cords here, it's an interesting word, avot, in the Hebrew. There are several words in the scriptures used to describe cords or ropes, but this one, it has physical usage and it's also metaphorical. It's a great way to describe the interwoven bands of wickedness by which Satan holds those who are his own. This is the same word that was used in Judges 15 when the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson and he broke the ropes that bound his arms and slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey. It's the same word. Samson was one of the strongest men, if not the physically strongest man, to ever live. A few ropes weren't going to hold him. But the intertwined cords of wickedness, they eventually brought him down. That is this word I wrote. Matthew Henry says of this verse, quote, "He hath cut asunder the cords of the wicked. The enemy's power has been broken. God has cut asunder the cords of the wicked, has cut their gears, their traces, and so spoiled their plowing, has cut their scourges, and so spoiled their lashings, has cut the bands of union by which they were combined together. He has cut their bands of captivity in which they held God's people. God has many ways of disabling wicked men to do the mischief they design against his church and shaming their counsels. God has done this. And he cut their cords from you the moment he saved you. You were set free." Here again, verses 1 and 2. "Many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Let Israel now say, many times they have persecuted me from my youth up. Yet they have not prevailed against me." There's the thing. They have not prevailed against me. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 through 11. We heard chapter 4 this morning. Let me remind you of something from the Word of God. For God, who said, "Light shall shine out of darkness," is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not of ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Hear those words. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, not destroyed. Perplexed, not despairing. Afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Now, for some in this world today, that type of mindset arises from abject delusion. They just tend to ignore what's going on and store up in their own minds their own strength, or they rely on the strength of Satan and his false religions. How is it that the Apostle Paul could write this in absolute confidence? Because we know, and this is why, because we know that the enemies of God must have God's permission to come anywhere near his children. Now think about that for one moment. Wherever you are, you who have children, who will you allow to rush up to your child? Just think about that for a moment. Now imagine yourself omnipotent, able to see and protect your child anywhere, anytime, all day, all night long. Nobody's going to get to your child unless you want them there. So how could we think any less of our omnipotent Lord Jesus Christ? No one gets to you unless he allows it. That is not my own imagination. It's not something I'm making up for you, because we have several examples of that in Scripture. What is the most famous? Job. Satan came to the Lord. "Let me do this." Lord says, "Okay, but..." Satan says, "Well, let me do this." The Lord says, "Okay, but..." And as bad as Job's trial was, as hard as it was on him, not a bit of it came to him without the knowledge and permission of the Lord. Peter, what did our Lord tell him? "Satan has requested permission to sift you like wheat." The enemies of God cannot touch you without God's permission. They can't even get close to you. And no one gets away with being an enemy of God. We think maybe as we watch the news and we see Islam's rise, they're getting away with something. We think maybe in our country, as we see our laws change to favor sin, they're getting away with it. No, beloved, they're not getting away with anything, because God created all this. And God uses his creation to accomplish exactly, no less and no more, than what he wants it to do. And no one gets a free pass. In fact, God will so greatly punish the enemies that he'll deny them even the well wishes of others. There'll be no patting on the back. There'll be no cheering. Here, verse 8. "Nor do those who pass by say, 'The blessing of the Lord be upon you.' We bless you in the name of the Lord. The enemies of God will not even be allowed to hear that. There's a beautiful example of what's being referred to here by the psalmist. There's a lot of talk in this psalm about the growing of the grass, about reaping. So I did some searching in our scriptures for examples of this. And Ruth chapter 2 gives us that. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "May the Lord be with you." And they said to him, "May the Lord bless you." That is a beautiful blessing. It's a beautiful blessing. One which you should feel eager to share with your fellow servants in Christ. But the enemies of God will be denied this because God stops them dead in their tracks. When they've served their purpose, and believe this, beloved, their purpose is to glorify Him and serve you. When He stops them, there'll be nothing left. Verses 5 through 7 tell us, "May all who hate Zion be put to shame and turned backward. Let them be like grass upon the housetops, which withers before it grows up, with which the reaper does not fill his hand, or the binder of sheaves his bosom." Recently, I was given a gift. It was a set of little tiny clay pots and lots of herb seeds. I got cilantro and dill and parsley, all that good stuff. This is great because I love to cook. So I took them and I bought good dirt. I bought Miracle-Gro. And I put it in the little pot and I put the seeds in there. And I put it on a warm, bright windowsill and I watered it every day. And those little seeds started to sprout. And I got so excited. I started envisioning salads, Mexican food, all that stuff. You know how that works. And then I forgot one day to water them. And when I got to them the next day, they were shriveling. I felt so bad. And I started to see those things that I had hoped for going away. So I quickly watered them. And then the next day I watered them, and I watered them again. But then I forgot. I got busy, and for about 3 or 4 days, I completely forgot about them. And so in the house, on a windowsill that gets direct sunlight for just a couple of hours a day, I found dry, dead herbs. It was so disappointing. So imagine when a seed takes root on a rooftop in a little patch of dirt in full sunlight, like the sunlight we've been having for several days. That seed could spring up and die within hours. Those are the enemies of God. That is the curse. I use that word, yeah. The curse that this psalmist places on the enemies of God. May they be like that seed that springs up and dies within hours. But let me give you a further example of what's going to happen to them. That won't be the end. There won't even be crinkled leaves left of the enemies of God. Like most men, I have dreamed of having a beautiful green lawn, free of weeds, no dandelions, nothing else, just beautiful grass. And so every now and then, if I'm not able to get out there and pull the weeds by hand, I'll buy a weed remover, something I can spray on the weeds to kill them. And I've got my favorite brand, and it works very well. And then I was at the store one day, and I saw that they had changed. The label was a different color. It said, "All new, all improved." That was all I needed to see. I grabbed it, didn't read another thing, bought it, took it home, went outside, sprayed here, sprayed there, indiscriminately. Anytime I saw a weed, I sprayed. Maybe 2-3 days later, I look, and there are craters in my lawn. Brown, dusty craters with nothing but dirt in them. Then I decided to read the label. And unlike the previous formula, which was specially designed to let the grass live and kill only the weeds, it was now so strong that it would kill anything you sprayed it with. So, in the lawn, that is the kingdom. The enemies of God, they will be like dry, dusty craters. Not even a root left to see because the wind has blown them away. But in the kingdom, in the eternal kingdom, when we stand with God, there won't even be that much left. There will just be you, the beautiful, healthy, growing fruit of God. And it will be a beautiful sight. God stops them all right in their tracks. Egypt. Egypt was broken. Their Pharaoh and his army drowned and washed away. Babylon was conquered by Cyrus, who the Lord had promised in Isaiah 44 and 45 that he would use to free Israel. And he kept his word. It is God's hand at the plow in your life. It is God's hand at the plow. Yes, Satan prowls about like a lion, seeking who he may devour. But he is a lion on a leash. And he can only do as much as the Lord lets him do. Jesus Christ, who is the living word of God, has cut his cord from you. Verse 4. The Lord is righteous. He has cut in two the cords of the wicked. John, our pastor is today, or not today, excuse me, but has been for recent weeks and will be again soon, taking us through the Gospel of John. The Gospel of signs, where Jesus Christ again and again shows his mastery over all. Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, is the living sword which cuts the cord and sets you free. His sacrifice, his scars are for you like the reaper's blade cutting through dry grass and setting you free. You can celebrate Jesus Christ for that even in your hard times. Even in your hard times. There is a wonderful saying, and I'm not sure from where this quote came. I've tried to track it down. I haven't been able to find it, but it stuck with me from the first day I heard it, and I've never, ever been able to forget it. It concerns you in the face of God's enemies, who are your enemies. Do nothing, and I will continue to share the gospel. Beat me, and you add to my reward in heaven. Kill me, and not only do you send me to the God who I want to be with anyway, you encourage others like me. You cannot win, because Jesus Christ is my Lord. That is something that you can take with you, beloved, each and every day, without fail. Today, even in the hard times, you should praise Jesus Christ for cutting the cords of the wicked from you. Join me in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that